Hey, Berean family, Pastor Dan here. I'm in a different location today for this morning's sermon. I am in Alaska Horse Adventures. So you check it out, this cool mug, a little product placement here. Alaska Horse Adventures, it's a company run by my good friend Joshua Hale, who in just a couple of minutes, you're going to get to meet and hear part of his testimony. And that's why I'm here today to share. We're in a series called Fear Not. And these are scary times, without a doubt, for a lot of people. And I know that there's a huge portion of our population that are struggling with fear. And that's why we're taking a few weeks to discuss it. What does the Bible say? And the Bible has a lot to say about not being in fear. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Phil did a message on Peter walking on the water. And, you know, the big picture here, get Peter, who, as long as his eyes were on Jesus, he was fine. He was able to walk on Jesus. But as soon as he shifted his eyes from Jesus to the storm, to the waves, to the water, overcome by fear, and it replaced his faith, and he began to sink. Last week, we looked at King David before he became king. Well, he's being chased around the countryside by King Saul, dealing with fear, dealing with all kinds of stuff. And he writes this magnificent song, Psalm 56, and we discussed that at length. Today, we're going to be in Romans chapter 8. And today's sermon is Fear Not, because we are children. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And that's what's going to be our focus today. If you remember last week, I talked a little bit about some things that are scary. Like for Kelly, it was the rodents, right? For me, it was heights. And there's not a lot right now I can say that I'm really fearful of. But when I was a kid, it was a little bit different. There was a lot that I was afraid of. Just like now, when I was a child, I had a very active imagination. And when I'd go to my bed, I'd be alone in the room in the dark. My active imagination would often take me places that would cause great fear. And I would cry out to my mom or my dad and tell them something like, I need a glass of water, just so that they could come in there. Because whenever my mom and dad came around, I had this sense of comfort. Why? Because I knew my mom and dad had my best interest in mind. You know, they're not perfect people, but I believe that they could protect me and that they would protect me. And because of their presence, I wouldn't have the kind of fear that I was dealing with. As Christians, we have the most incredible Father. You know, as Christians, do you realize that that means we are sons and daughters of God, the Lord of Lords, the God of this universe, the one who has created all things, is our Father, and He is good. He is good. And I think all those little scenarios I had in my head when I was a kid that would cause fear, my mom and dad's presence would drive it out, you know, big, small, whatever, it pales in comparison. My parents really didn't have that much power. My God, my Heavenly Father does. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is not being afraid, driving out fear, because as Christians, we have that most absolute, perfect, incredible Father. Our first part of our text today that we're going to jump to is Romans 8, 15 through 17. But before I read that, join me in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you. Thank you for my friend Josh, who we get to hear his testimony or parts of his testimony a little bit later. Thank you for this cool business that I'm standing in, Lord, and what you're doing here. And thank you for the folks back in Ohio and everybody else who's going to be watching this. And I know there's going to be people from all kinds of different states watching this sermon, God. And I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will use what's said and shared today to help us all take a step closer to you. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm going to get into Romans 8. We're going to look at verses 15 through 17. Excuse me from shuffling around here. I have to get my bifocals on because that's the age I'm getting to. All right, Romans 8, 15 through 17 says this: For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Our first point from our text this morning is this, and it's a simple one, but it is profound. We have a good, good Father. We have a good Father. In this text here, There's a word that it just jumps out to me, and it's one that's ministered to me in several ways in my walk as a follower of Jesus, and that is this word Abba, which literally means daddy. It literally means daddy. I mean, I want you to just think about how profound that is, that the God of this universe, yeah, Father God, we call him Father, but it's not just Father. It's a relational, loving, caring term, daddy. We have a good Father. Friends, we have a good daddy in heaven. I want that just to sink in. Just let that kind of wash over you today, that we have a good daddy in heaven who cares for you, who wants a relationship with you, who will protect you, who will guide you, who will strengthen you, who will mature you and help you grow into the image of his son. That's who we serve. We serve a good father. We serve a good daddy. This text talks about being the spirit of adoption as sons. Have you ever been to an adoption hearing at court? I've been to a few of them, and I got to tell you, it's one of the most powerful things you can ever experience. At least it is for me. I can't make it through the whole thing without weeping, but they're not tears of sorrow. They're tears of joy, because this hearing of an adoption is this picture of what's happened as for you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, if you've put your faith in Christ and surrendered your will to his, it's this picture of what's happened as being adopted, chosen by this good father. So an adoption hearing, there comes to a part, and this is the part where I almost always lose it, when the judge looks to the child towards the end and gives them their new name. Oh my gosh, it's powerful. If you've not seen it, if there's a way for you to go and see an adoption hearing, I encourage you to do it. Because to me, that's so powerful, and what an incredible picture of our salvation experience as followers of Jesus, becoming adopted as sons and daughters of God. This is important because God is a good father. He's a good daddy. You know, as a parent, I can tell you that I would do everything and anything to protect my kids. You know, that's one thing I'm sure of. I'm a pretty docile guy, but if I felt like my kids were under any kind of threat, it'd be like release the Kraken, right? Like it'd be game on. I will do everything in my power to protect my wife and kids, and they know it. And because they know that, when I'm in their presence, when I'm around them, there's a calm and peace that comes to them because they know that near their dad, they have security, they have peace, they have protection. Well, as much as I want to do that, I'm also a very imperfect person. I fail all the time in all kinds of different ways. Even when it comes to protecting my family, I have the propensity to fail, right? Well, our God in heaven, he is not imperfect. He is perfect. So while I can offer my family some protection, it pales in comparison to what the God of this universe can do. So what does that mean? That means we have no reason to fear. We have no reason to fear. You know, if my kids don't need to be scared of some madman because they're in the presence of their dad, who they know will stand up and fight for them. You know, while they know that, listen, I can fail in that. God of heaven, our Father in heaven, our daddy will not fail. We have nothing to fear, friends. Absolutely nothing at all. We have a perfect God who loves you in a perfect way and offers you his perfect protection. And nothing, listen, nothing is going to change that. Nothing is going to change that. Not things that we do, not things that we say, not things that we think. Nothing is going to change that. When we become adopted into the sonship and daughtership of God, guess what? That means he now holds on to our salvation. It's up to him to hold on to our relationship. That's not in our hands. If it was, we'd drop it all the time. But our good father holds it in his hands. I want to go to our next text, but before I do that, our next point is this. Nobody or nothing can separate us from our Father. Nobody or nothing can separate us from the love of our Father. Listen to Romans 8, 31 through 39. I'm going to have to turn there real quick. It's the next page in my Bible. A little longer text this time, so I want to lick my fingers, but I'm being careful. There we go. So 8:31 to 39 says this: What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nobody or nothing can separate us from our Father who is in heaven. You know, God didn't even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, is what the scripture says. Just let that sink in for a minute. What is God willing to do to love you, to protect you, to have a relationship with you? The answer is this, it's limitless. His mercy and his love are limitless. He was willing to give his own son. Why? So that we could have a relationship with him, so that that adoption could happen, so that we could be given a new name, so that we could be given a new everything with as children of God. God didn't even spare his own son. Why do we fear? What should we fear if that's the way our God loves us? Nobody can separate us from God's love. It says this, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or COVID-19. Okay, it doesn't say COVID-19, but it could. That can't separate us, friends. Listen, the coronavirus is real and we need to respect it. We need to be careful, but it cannot separate us from the love of God. Not even that. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. It says, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What does that mean? That means all of this means this, that God holds our salvation and we do not. Because if we held it, if we held our relationship with God, any one of those things could knock us out. But since God is the one who holds it, then our salvation, our standing, our adoption is secure in his hands. Friends, that is good news. What should we fear as followers of Christ? What should we be afraid of as children of God? We should have no fear. And that's why the Bible talks about this at such length, that there is nothing for us to fear. Now, my dad isn't perfect. Go back to my childhood for a second. My dad isn't perfect. My mom's not perfect. You know, nothing about my childhood was perfect. But, you know, my dad was a good man, and he is a good man, and he tries hard, and he's honest and sincere, and he makes his mistakes. But, again, generally, he's a good guy. And because of that, it's easy for me, I think, in some ways, to trust God the Father, because I've had a good example when it comes to that. But I'm very aware that we're not all in that same situation. I'm very aware that for some of us, you know, our earthly dads, they did mean and terrible things to us. And because of that, we have this image of father and of daddy that doesn't have the same feeling as it should. You know, and that's true for my friend. I started off telling you I was at Alaska Horse Adventures, and I'm at my friend Joshua Hill owns it. I'm going to ask you, Joshua, if you'd join me on camera over here, an appropriate, I don't know, like 6 feet apart or so, so we can kind of make sure we're doing our social distancing. Isaiah, are we still good? We're still in the shot here? Awesome. Joshua, I asked to talk to you. I asked you to share a little bit of your testimony because I know it really well. We've had lots of conversations, you know, at a restaurant, at a campfire, and on horseback. It's pretty much where we've had all of our conversations. Yeah. But if you didn't know this, those are the places where all the best conversations happen. Restaurants, campfires, and horseback.
Campfires and horseback riding, by far.
By far? Mm-hmm. I like to eat, though, too. You know this. You know that I like to eat. Joshua, I just wanted to ask you some questions and let our folks get to know you a little bit. By the way, Joshua said, you know, we've got to get Joshua to Ohio. Would you want to come to Ohio someday?
I'd love to.
All right, we're going to get Joshua to Ohio someday so we can hear his full testimony. But a couple questions for you to just people get to know you a little bit. Your family your family that you grew up in. You made national news some years ago. Can you just kind of tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, it was mainly over, I was raised, I was born in the Rocky Mountains in New Mexico. My dad moved up in the mountains there before I was born with my older brother and my older sister. And then we left there when I was about 19, 20, moved to Alaska and jumped all around the state and then bought some property way out in the Wrangell Mountains where just a bunch of things fell out there. I'm not, can't go into all the details, but issues with the Park Service, and we kind of just got into society in a way, and we were living in the mountains out there, and just life was all really very different. But yeah, it was over trying to get back and forth to our homestead in a park.
Yeah.
And
so you guys had to cross through a park in order to get to your property.
Yeah, we lived in the park, and so we had to get over parkland, and they didn't want us taking equipment back and forth to our homestead. But
the federal government didn't want you guys to be going through the park.
Yeah. They were basically telling us we couldn't get to our place. Yeah. So anyways, that got a lot of attention in that. The fallout of that was kind of directed our life in some other directions. And we made a family here in Palmer, where I live now, and shined a light into our life in kind of a good way, which in the end, it was a really good way because I ended up marrying into the family.
Yeah.
It's my wife, Tasharia, and we now have 10 children.
He's only has 10 children, so.
Just 10.
Yeah. It's a good start, man. Good start.
So, from there, life just sort of started to change. So to back.
Let me stop you there real quickly, though, because I want people to have a good idea, like what your upbringing. So basically the first 25 years of your life between New Mexico and Alaska, you grew up in the wilderness.
Yes.
Hunting, fishing, survival. We're not talking about Holiday Inn stuff. We're talking about Huck Finn stuff, like living off of the land, raising their own animals for meat, all hunting for their own meat and survival, all those kind of things. This was a real rugged existence.
So my dad had a really good idea. He moved up into the mountains. He found this piece of property that we could stay on and leased from some movie star for 10 bucks a month in LA somewhere that I'm not sure he ever knew we existed. And literally paid $10 a month to live there. And we did that for 20 years. And, in many respects, it was a good life, but he then kind of developed his family. I have 14 siblings, and he kind of...
So you're one of 15.
Yeah, I'm third.
Third oldest of 15.
Of 15.
Wow.
And so he kind of developed this whole little kingdom around him and raised his family. They didn't educate us. We didn't get any schooling. We did learn to work. We had animals. We lived more of a bush life in New Mexico than most people live in Alaska because we couldn't go anywhere for 6 months of the year due to snow at that high altitude in the mountains. And then just kind of, he separated himself from the world and decided that, I don't know really where he really went wrong, but in the end, he decided that he was the only one that really understood the Bible. He read the Bible, he wore out dozens of Bibles and taught us the Bible. I mean, you think a sermon is long? Wait until when you're 11 years old and you're forced to listen to your dad preach for 4 hours every morning sometimes.
I pastored Joshua for 2 years, so he's acquainted with some long sermons.
Oh, no, I'm good with that. But in the end, my dad really messed up. I mean, he really did mess up. And in sort of isolating himself and separating himself from other Christians and deciding that he knew God somehow better than other folks, other Christians, and interpreted the Bible in his own way, ended up with a doctrine that he believed that if you were saved and you sinned willfully, you therefore lost your salvation, or you were never saved. And so what he would end up doing was justifying his sin, justifying his life, because he didn't want to admit that he was wrong. Because he's now sort of, through jumping out of that grace relationship with God and the forgiveness of God as a Christian and as a believer, he removed himself from God, and he didn't even, I don't even believe he understood what he did to himself in entrapping himself. And then as life went on, he began to get really very physically abusive, did some really, really unspeakable things to many of, or all of his children. I mean, really, and my sisters, and it just was not good. So to jump forward in years, most of us were really very afraid of our dad. You know, we obeyed him. I loved my dad, and I still do. I wanted to run away so many times, but I was so caught up and so different, and we were so separated from society, there wasn't anywhere to go. Like, you know, I couldn't read. I didn't know how to read until after I was 25 years old, because I've taught myself. And then after all that sort of fallout here in Alaska, in the mountains, and the media and everything, our life kind of got exposed and sort of unraveled. And through meeting my wife's family, my dad ended up in prison in 2006, which I can safely say was a good thing.
We didn't talk about this before, but I wanted to just bring it up because I do know your story fairly well. We've had this conversation, but one of the things that kind of just pulled on my heart in a conversation about this, and I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but you know, with all the stuff, the physical abuse, just the mental abuse, everything you guys suffered, it got exposed, you're at court and at the sentencing. So it's already pretty much done.
Yeah.
When your dad had an opportunity to say, I was wrong, I'm sorry, he didn't, right?
Yeah, he didn't.
And he basically put it off on you guys as making the whole thing up. And, you know, it's heartbreaking, frankly, as your friend, and to just think about that scene, and it's like, man, you know, and I think about that, and I think about your story now, and so many of your siblings, just the dramatic story that we're not sharing all, even a small percentage of here, but almost all of your siblings now who have a good relationship with God the Father is to me, it's almost miraculous with your upbringing. It had been so easy to, you know, just to dismiss Christianity and God and his love because of what you guys went through in a warped and twisted version of Christianity, right? So kind of my last question for you is, how did you, like, your dad treated you so badly and all those things that I just said, like, has it been hard for you to trust God the Father? Like, how did you make that kind of jump?
Yeah. I'll tell a couple of, one story that came to mind just as you were talking was, this is back when I used to shoe horses for a living. I was talking to this cowboy, and he, my past came up a little bit, or he had heard about it in the news or something somehow. And he just looked me right in the eyes, and he says, so, because I'd made the comment that God had been good to me. And he looks at me, just stood straight towards me. He's like, tell me something. Has God been really good? Has God been good to you, or has God been really bad to you? And he just stared at me. And I just kind of looked at him, and I was like, no, he's been really good to me. And it was really a significant moment in my life. And I told him, because you don't know what it could have been. He's like, all right. And he just walked off. He was actually insulted because, and then I think I explained to him, if there's anyone that, and I hesitate to say this sometimes, but if there's anybody in life that has a reason to walk away from God, it could be me. It could be my siblings. And I do marvel that God has kept us so close. And many of us have wanted to, in the confusion of religion and doctrine and all this stuff, you just want to separate from it because it's just too much. But then in the end, somehow we all know, I know that God loves me. And that kind of goes into your question. When back before my dad went to jail, and when all this was kind of coming down, I was driving through the night in a snowstorm to go back to our homestead and get some horses, haul them out here. But either way, and I just was done with this whole picture of Christianity and trying to live as a Christian and trying not to sin and then doubting my salvation because I wasn't sure if I'd ever been saved. I just got really, really honest with God for really the first time in my life. I've always loved God and always knew he was there, but I was afraid of God. I had nightmares about going to hell on a regular basis, basically, and I didn't want to go to hell, you know, who does? And I just got really honest with God, and I was like, at this point, I don't really care anymore. You can take my life tonight. This Christian thing doesn't work for me, and I just don't really care. And I was listening to this song that Harvey Fiskel, a pastor in Alaska, Bush, wrote and was on a CD that my wife's family had given me. And I was just listening to that over and over again. And it said, God reached way below the bottom for me. And I can't remember all the other words of the song. And I just really cried out to God. But at the same time, I was crying out to God. I was sort of railing on God. I was angry. I just really told God, I'm just sick of this. Like, and you're not really helping me in the way I need help. And after I was done with my spiel for like 2 hours, I just kind of drove through a snowstorm waiting for God to strike me dead, hit me with lightning, run my truck off the road. You know, it was his chance to ruin me because I just railed on him. And I guess it's really just clear picture and this sweet picture that God was looking down from heaven, just kind of like, I wish you understood. And I wish you knew how much I love you. And I didn't see any lights. I didn't hear any voices, but the experience was really, really very real to me that God cared at that moment. And there was no doubt in my mind. And I've still never left that behind in my life. And God constantly in my life proves to me his love in little tiny ways to keep me knowing that he was there. And at that point in my life, at that moment, actually, it didn't matter if I had sinned or if I was going to sin. It was sort of like, I knew he loved me, and through the knowledge that God loved me, regardless of everything I just said to him, was very renewing. And I'm not really sure in my life when I was saved. I've been baptized, I think, 6 times for fear of not going to hell and trying to be saved and trying to live right. But since then, I just strive to keep a love relationship with God that and he always pulls me through.
And how comforting is it to know, like, I mean, not just your story, but my story, everybody's story, that it's not us that holds on to that relationship with God. See, we submitted our lives to him, and it's now his job to hold on to it, yeah. And he's the perfect one to do it. Hey, we talked earlier, any verses or anything that kind of stand out to you has just kind of been, you know, I know there's verses in my life that I kind of go back to, anything like that for you?
Yes, the verse in Corinthians somewhere, it says that it pleaseth God by the foolishness of preaching to save some. Yeah. And somehow that verse has just been comforting to me in knowing that God doesn't need anything special, that, you know, through the foolishness of our just doing for God, that he can use us in any way he wants to in life.
Today, I know it's a blessing to me, and I'm sure it's a blessing to everybody who's going to be watching this video as well. Before we close, just a couple things. First, would you mind if I pray for you before we close?
Yeah,
I pray for you. God, thank you for Joshua and his family, Lord, and how they've ministered to me as a friend, as friends. And God, I just thank you for showing your incredible love and mercy to Joshua in that moment in his truck in the snowstorm, God. And I just pray that you continue to do that. Continue to show Joshua your love and your mercy. And God, for those who are watching on their TV screens or phones or computers, God, if there's somebody out there, Lord, who has not yet experienced that, who has not yet been adopted into your sonship or daughtership, Lord, I just pray that they will right now, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, that they will submit their wills to yours and have that moment of adoption where they become your son and daughter. God, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hey, before we go, we've sat around and talked about a little bit, sharing some stories around a campfire. Oftentimes, you bust out the guitar. Would you mind doing a song for us to close us out today?
Sure.
All right, well, we're going to do that. We're going to cut here, and I'm going to grab a different, we have a different microphone and a camera. I'm going to grab that, and we're going to do a song right now. So just hold on. We'll be right there.
Lord, I come. I confess. Following here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. 'Cause you're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, every hour, runs deep. Your grace is more, where grace is found, that's where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Your holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, you're my one defense, you're my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you, when temptation comes my way. When I cannot stand, I will fall on you. Oh, Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
God bless y'all.